B-Pod Studios.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Felger and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pat probably is really going to enjoy this. This is like a throwback series. I mean, if both teams are really on top of their games, you know, this shouldn't be a series where either team is scoring 130 points. Both teams hang their hats on rock-solid team defense and making multiple efforts and being disciplined to schemes. And you know, so it'll be a lot of plays and things in the margins. And that's what you expect. I mean, really, we're the two best teams in the East most of the season. And it's fitting that we're meeting in the conference finals.
Eric Spoelstra, Heat coach. Quick aside, NBA's got to figure out that bouncy ball thing in the background with those media availabilities during practice with the bouncy ball. Real issue. Got to take them around the corner or something.
It's up schemes and...
It's a recurrent problem. It happens every year, and every year I'm like, you're so media savvy. You've got to figure that one out.
10-minute media window. Stop bouncing. The practice is halted. Go have some Gatorade.
Put the balls down for a few minutes. Let's do these, bang out these interviews, and now go back to bouncing your ball.
Schemes and
baseline sprints. Anyone bounces.
Or designate a dribbling gym.
Or, I don't know, go into a side room. Why do you got to do it right next to the floor where the guy pounding the ball into the floor?
Maybe they like the ambiance.
The ambiance is washed out by the fact that you can't hear the guy talk.
And that's what you expect.
Too much ambiance.
And the sneaker squeaking, too. That's the one I don't like.
Yeah, the sneaker squeaking's annoying as hell.
Okay, either way. Sidebar. Eric Spoelstra, talk about a guy that's come a long way. Remember how we used to mock this guy?
Yes.
Like, it's just, I used to think, back in the day, the LeBron days, like, I thought he was a cardboard cutout.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that, you know, looked like a coach, knew exactly how to stand like a coach, and he just... You know, there's just the way the coach stands with his hands on his hip.
Yes.
And he had a fit, kind of trim guy with the suit. So he looked good in the suit, and he put his hands on his hips in just the right way. And I felt like, well, that's all that you do, dude. Like, they could literally make a cardboard cutout of you in your nice suit with your trim physique, with your hands on your hips, and just put that cardboard like a thing you'd get in a liquor store. You know, the Captain Morgan's pirate or whatever.
Or Zoe.
Yeah, the Zoe cutout.
The Zoe cutout. Just put the cutout on the sidelines, and that's all that you do. The guy was just like a walking cliche, empty suit, nothing NBA coach that was just Riley's puppet that was there just to make sure LeBron got on the plane on time. And that's all that you did. And remember how we used to mock this guy?
Of course.
Now he's like considered the best coach in the league.
Yeah, he's a good X's and O's guy. Still hasn't won without LeBron.
Gotten pretty deep, though, with him.
Yeah. He
made the finals.
Yeah.
And took LeBron to six games, whatever that was.
But lost. So would you
put him on the long lines with like Frank Vogel, who won with the Lakers?
No, better coach
ago?
Than that. I'm just telling you that the coach only gets you so far in that league.
Give me the best coaches in the league.
Spoelstra's up there.
Okay, one through five.
Spoelstra's up there. Now I have to think about it.
I put you on the spot.
I spend so little energy on this topic in that league.
I know. Memphis
coach, Suns coach.
So listen.
The guy in Utah is pretty good.
Which we all agree with. Until we get to Udoka, and then Celtics fans say, yeah, this guy's the key. It's like, at least we're consistent about this thing, or I am. I've never done a backflip over Ime Udoka. I think it was important that they changed coaches. They had tuned Stevens out, and there was something wrong there in that mix. Between Ainge Stevens and that locker room, something wasn't quite working. I think that's obvious. The fact that they made the change was important. But I leave it there. I leave it there. There's only so much a coach can or can't do. So if we're going to sit here and bang on Spoelstra, I think it's pretty darn inconsistent to then, you know, separate your shoulder patting Ime Udoka on the back. Either these guys matter or they don't.
Okay, you want me to give you the poster child for why the NBA coach is overrated?
Yeah.
Jason Kidd.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Jason Kidd, who was a freaking train wreck in Milwaukee.
And the Nets or wherever he was for it. What Dingle did at the Nets, too? He was a disaster.
Yes, he lasted 1 year with Brooklyn, and then with Milwaukee, it was a freaking clown show. But stick him in Dallas with Luka Doncic, and all of a sudden, he's in the conference final. So, like, I just think that that's the league. It's about, you know, I'm not telling you that the coach is a complete zero. Okay, but I'm telling you that if he connects with the star player, then it can work. That's it. That's it. I stop there. Like, because then the star player will buy into the principles. If the star player isn't buying into the principles, it's over. And if you don't have a star player and he buys into the principles, you're probably going to get eliminated in the second or third round. I mean, that's it. It's pretty much the same crap over and over again.
So either we believe that or we don't. And then Udoka's no different. And he brings no special qualities on top of whatever any NBA coach does or whatever the conditions are that lead to success in that league. So I don't know. That's all just like a little bit of a keep it real thing. Unless you believe that the coaching's really, really important, then I think you have to give Eric Spoelstra his due. He's won championships. He's lost the top players in the league, and he's still competitive year after year. He beats you at a pretty high clip with having lesser talent. So either that matters or it doesn't. Let's just keep it on the same level. That's all that I ask. And I think it doesn't really matter, and I think these guys are incidental. I think that whether it's Frank Vogel, Mike Boonholzer, Eric Spoelstra, Ime Udoka, Quinn in Utah, Nurse up in Toronto, like there's guys that are better than others. I think guys can be so bad as they get in the way. Steve Nash, blow goats. Can I say that? It's like,
you know what I mean? No, I dropped that one.
I guess, but you know what I mean. If you just...
chunks, I think, is what blowing
yeah,
chunks.
Yeah, blowing if you chunks, blow it. Chunks, then yeah. You blow chunks. You can't suck. But, you know, there's no special quality at this time in the NBA that gives you any sort of special quality. So, like, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, look, to me, again, the coaching part of it gets so overplayed. If the Celtics lose this series...
Who gets a coaching edge in this series?
Miami.
Miami a bit.
And what does it matter?
Not a lot, because the Celtics should still win it.
Yeah, the talent's going to matter.
Right. Ultimately, you tell me, would I rather have the Celtics roster with Udoka or Miami's roster with Spoelstra? I'll take the Celtics.
Now, considering the talent disparity, though...
Can I say that backwards?
Flip it.
Did I say the Celtics...
Flip it. In other words, change the coaches, and do the series odds change in this one bit?
Not one bit. I want the Celtics roster is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
And no matter who the coach is.
And I'll take freaking Stu as the coach.
I'd be good.
But what if they get tripped up by this zone defense again? Then you're going to hear all these accolades for Spoelstra again, and rightfully so, because they shouldn't. They should have learned from that.
Yeah, but just telling you, the X's and O's in basketball aren't that complicated at the end of the day. And if the players can't execute it, it tells me that the players blew the series.
The Herald gives the coaching and their matchups even, which I guess Murph just couldn't bring himself to give Spoelstra the edge over Udoka, so he called it even. He says, Udoka has done wonders with his defensive game plans, finding ways to make two future Hall of Famers, Durant and Antetokounmpo, painfully inefficient. Was Antetokounmpo painfully inefficient?
No, in fact, I looked up the stats a little while ago. Boy, did he have a great series.
I mean, I thought he was a force.
34 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, 1.1 blocks, and 1 steal.
That was his average, obviously.
He shot 46% from the field, 68% from the line. It's not like he sucked from either of those areas.
I mean, to say he was painfully inefficient...
34.
It's inaccurate.
34 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists.
A little bit of a reach.
He kind of sucked.
Did he go over 40 twice or three times in the series?
It was at least twice.
It was at least twice.
Triple-double in game one.
I think that's just a little... Lumping in Antetokounmpo and Durant is, I don't think, accurate, but work with them. You can say they beat Durant and Antetokounmpo. You can definitely say that. Either way, the Heat have more balance than either Brooklyn or Milwaukee. Spoelstra has been very good over the years at throwing the Celts off balance with his own defensive ploys. These two share Portland-Oregon roots... And know each other well. Let the chess match begin.
Yeah, he's playing chess.
What does the fact that I'm from Portland, Oregon have to do with anything?
Nothing.
All right. So either way, the fact that one of the things that Miami may have going for themselves over you is the coach means how much you should win this series. Because that's not going to it almost never really makes a difference.
No, it's what the Celtics used to bank on when they played Cleveland.
When they had Stevens.
Right, and they got their asses kicked. Because Stevens can only do so much. You can't turn some clown who doesn't know whether to shoot with his left hand or his right, all of a sudden turn him into a sniper out there. It doesn't work that way in that league. When the pressure gets amped up, it's about shot making and star players.
Pressure. Who's got more pressure on them this series, the Heat or the Celtics?
Celtics.
Who needs this more, Jimmy Butler or Jason Tatum?
Butler.
Tatum.
Butler. Butler's got less time.
Tatum. Butler.
I mean, if Butler, play it out.
I think this is Butler's last real kick at the can.
If Miami loses this series and the Celtics are the best team in the East, how does Miami fix that?
I was going to say, name the next, I mean.
Is this ever going to line up this well for the Celtics again, though, too?
Are they going to, are the Heat ever going to have home court again? I mean, if Middleton's healthy next year and Milwaukee sort of is recharged by a hangover year, I don't know, Milwaukee-Boston. I mean, those are, I think, the two top teams in the East. And maybe flip the order. Either way, is Miami going to be a one or a two seed next year? Are they going to have home court in the Eastern Conference Finals? Sorry?
Miami is a destination location for NBA players, okay, so they can rebuild like that.
So I didn't say Heat. I said Butler. But I guess so you're saying they could even retool the roster next year?
Of course they could, yes.
With Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. I think that's an interesting thing. I think the Celtics have way more pressure on them this specific year, given it's their time. They're heavy, heavy favorites. They should be winning the thing. No one's saying that about Miami.
I mean, as it relates to Butler, well, if they're going to win, then they're going to bring in a player that's better than him. Because Jason Tatum is better than Jimmy Butler now. So's Giannis. So, like, I don't know how. And in fact, Jaylen Brown might be better than Jimmy Butler now. I would take him before I took Butler.
Me too.
I think you guys are underselling Jimmy Butler by a lot.
I don't. He's a good player. He's not an all-timer, though.
Okay,
no, but he could be better than you guys. He's been through this before, and Tatum and Brown, they think they've won seven championships, but, you know, Jimmy Butler's actually been to an NBA final.
Let's discuss then, shall we, with your calls right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is purely a take that exists in my head.
Getting into your head.
Tell you what's in our head.
With hot sports takes.
And we share it with you.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Here's where I'm at with this, though. Jimmy Butler, 32. Jason Tatum's about 8 years younger.
Right.
And so when I look at Jason Tatum, you already been to like three or four conference finals. And you're 24 years old. You got time on your side. Time running out. On Jimmy Butler. You don't get this many opportunities. You got to the finals. You showed you could lead your team, and you balled out in the NBA finals. So he deserves a lot of credit for that. He doesn't shrink beneath the moment. The lights get brighter. Jimmy Butler gets brighter. Mm. Okay, we know that about him. But in the same breath, you also got to look at that dust on that birth certificate. You ain't getting younger. You're getting older. And the opportunities that are going to be there for you may be sparse, to say the least. And so I'm looking at it from the standpoint that Jason Tatum ain't got nothing but time on his side. Not only are you young, you got another young stud with you in Jaylen Brown and a young coach. Not to say that Jimmy Butler doesn't have that in Eric Spoelstra, but the point that I'm making is the opportunities are not going to be there as a plenty for Jimmy Butler as they are for Jason Tatum.
Stephen A. on Jimmy Butler. Yes, Maz?
No, he's right. See, I think Jimmy Butler is a number two. You know, we do that hierarchy.
Definitely.
One, two, three. I don't think he's a number one.
A great number two.
Yeah, excellent. Because, again, and he can do a lot of things. He's a great guy at both ends of the floor, right? We always talk about that. Impact the game at both ends. Those guys that can do that are special players. Butler's a special player, but he's not a number one. He's not a good enough shooter from the outside to be a number one, although he shot better this postseason than he has in the past. And he's not quite long enough. Like, you know, and I hold that as a second thing, even though I think he's 6'6", but he plays a little short. He's kind of a funny body. You ever take a good look at him? He's like, he's like short-legged or something. I don't know what it is, but it's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
So, but regardless, you know, I'd take him on my team any day of the week, but if he's your best player, you're probably not going to win.
Jimmy, who do you got in this series? Jimmy Stewart.
Celtics in six.
Okay, I was just curious.
It didn't sound that way.
No, you get. I was just
trying to give the other side. I'm fair and balanced here.
It's what our show prides itself on.
Yep.
I respect Jimmy Butler, absolutely.
I do too, but I just don't think he's like a true superstar.
Right.
I don't think he's good enough.
And not to diminish him, I just feel like the expectation should be for him specifically, like he shouldn't win a title. Like he's just not good enough.
I mean, as the number one.
Yeah, right.
To Maz's point.
Right. You make him the second best player on the team, as long as he can accept that, which is, to me, the issue.
Yeah.
But if he's the best player, I think we have enough of a history now to know you're going to be good, but you're not going to be great.
And so Tatum's
going to you know who are a bunch of morons? Are the Sixers.
Yeah, that's right. They had it.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, if you got Embiid and Jimmy Butler there, now you got something.
And he knows it, too. Do you see what he was saying when they closed him out in Game 6? He's like, choose Tobias Harris over me. Choose Tobias Harris. So good.
You morons.
Yeah.
Philly.
Yeah, he's a great, he's not a role player. He's just a great number two, but he's not a number one. So, yeah, there's more time for Tatum, but how much more time for Tatum in a Celtics uniform? Like, that's legitimately on the table, I feel like, for any player in the NBA.
Sure.
So that's why, they have a nice road here. Players are getting hurt. It's open. The path is open for them. So I feel like there's more pressure on Tatum in a Celtics uniform to get this now.
Okay, in the Celtics uniform part, I still go Butler, Barry, but it gets closer. But Tatum will go somewhere else and win.
I don't care about that.
I'm not so sure.
I know you
that.
Don't, but
oh God, good. Now
what?
Well, now what, Stu? You had him.
I'm just concerned that these Dukies, who are the number one, who's the best Duke player to win a championship?
Well, no, but hold on. You just said you're not convinced he's going anywhere, or said you're not convinced
I'm not
he's
going to
be...
I'm sorry. Clarify your question.
Yeah, no. So you said you're not convinced he's going to be knocking at the door of championships every year.
Correct.
Got it.
I think it's cool that you make all these Final Fours, but can you get to an NBA final as the best player? Because in Game 7 with LeBron on the ropes, you were on fire in the fourth quarter a few years ago. And for the last 2 minutes and 30-something seconds, the ball never got to you. And I understand you're a rookie, but if you're a franchise player, you need to have the ball in your hands the last 2:30 of a game 7.
So look, the NBA, thankfully, blessedly, has more parity than it's ever had. And you can sort of talk yourself into 5 or 6 teams next year, maybe, with one move, they're sort of right back. So the way to look at that is for the Celtics, the urgency is it may not line up like it lines up this year. Maybe the Bucks have Chris Middleton next year and home court. Maybe Miami lands someone to put on top of Jimmy Butler down there in Miami. Someone who is a true number one. And I'll get back to me on who that could possibly be. But I don't know. Maybe Golden State adds something next year. I mean, you just don't know. And
maybe people want to go play with Kevin Durant again. Remember, Harden, Kyrie, and Durant only played 16 games together. That was supposed to be the championship window for them. It was supposed to be 2 years. They got 16 games. You don't know who wants to go play with Durant.
Maybe Brooklyn gets their act together. Right? You just don't know. And so you're a heavy favorite this series. According to the analytics, you're a heavy favorite to win an NBA championship. You may be just as good next year, but everything else changes, and that's not in play. So this isn't, I'd say the same thing about you. I said about the Bucks. I don't think this is Michael Jordan and 6 championships here rolling out of bed.
Oh, no. You got to maximize.
It's going to be sort of an every year kind of thing, what it looks like. And you'll be among, you'll be among a handful of teams every year, providing these guys stay here and stay healthy. You'll be among a handful of teams every year that say have a chance to win a championship. But it's not like it used to be, where it's 2 or 3 teams and no one else needs even apply. I think the league has changed a little bit for the better.
Definitely. And look, you can't take championships for granted. You never can do that. So I agree with you on that point. Jimmy, just real quick, because people ask the question all the time. The best Duke players ever, because a lot of them never pan out. This guy's now in the top 3. Tatum, if you ask me. It's Grant Hill, Kyrie Irving, and this guy. And that's it. I stop there. Who are we going to add in now? Shane Battier? We start getting in with clowns like that. Now
no,
you're talking.
That's the list.
I think it's those 3 guys.
Good God. And Grant Hill, did he ever win?
Good question. He might have won as a role player somewhere.
I don't think he did.
He got hurt a lot, but I don't think he ever won a title. Kyrie won one.
Obviously.
And some of those other guys may have won, like Battier with other teams. And, was Battier on the team with LeBron in Miami? I think he might have been.
Yeah.
So he probably has a ring to his credit, but he wasn't the centerpiece. I think
Grant Hill didn't win.
Yeah, I think it's Tatum. Tatum's now in the top 3 already.
I just need to see a lot of compete. So far, we've seen it from the Celtics. I want to see that same compete and them out-compete Jimmy Butler in this series because, as Colin Cowherd would say,
I mean, yes, the Celtics have been consistent. So is yogurt and Wheat Thins.
I don't want to look back and be like the Celtics are the Atlanta Braves, where they're 8 conference finals and no world championships.
I mean, it is. I think they've been to 4 of the last 6 Eastern finals.
Something like that.
I think it's something like that, yeah.
They've been to 37 conference finals. And by the way, everyone's making a big deal about this earlier in the week on Twitter. Yeah, what a great stat. They've been to half of all the conference finals. Second in league history.
2?
Well, I can't forget.
I don't want all that. Bro, but I guess wait a minute. I thought the Bleacher Report doesn't count the Minneapolis Lakers. Because that's where I go to. That, to me, is that's the defining word on NBA history. It's, as the caller said earlier, Bleacher Report.
Yeah. Yeah, you should see it, guys. That's a great stat. Half of all conference finals. Second most.
I mean, yes, the Celtics have been consistent. So is yogurt and Wheat Thins.
I'm not going to stand for Wheat Thin slander.
Convenient to me how all those Twitterati jackasses left out the part that it was second on the list.
So,
the Lakers.
So, Colin Coward, who would you rather be right now as we're standing here? Right now, even right this second, the Lakers or the Celtics, Colin?
Despite the legendary brand of the Boston Celtics, last 35 years, 1 title. That's it. Beat the banged-up Lakers in 2008. They hadn't even been there 1 time in 12 years. That's it. The Lakers, meanwhile, are a bit of a mess, right? Easy to roll your eyes as a Celtic fan. But in that same time span of 35 years, they have 8 titles. 2 biggest brands, which would you rather be today? I'd be the Lakers. I mean, yes, the Celtics have been consistent. So is yogurt and Wheat Thins. I've seen the Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart thing. It's adorable.
Adorable.
But let Memphis celebrate consistency. You beat Milwaukee without Chris Middleton, at home, in the East, in the second round. And as much as I admire Giannis and the Bucks, in the last 6 years, 4 of them, they've been eliminated in the first or second round. Congratulations for becoming the NBA's 401k. But the Lakers in that same time span have sold 8 companies and gotten the bag 8 times. I'll take that.
So he'd be the Lakers right now. And he said 4 of the last 6 Eastern teams didn't make it. He didn't finish his thought. Does he mean 6 of the last 6 teams to make it out of the Eastern Conference, 4 didn't get out of the second round? Is that what he meant? I don't even know what he was saying there. I think he left a word out from his fine rant there. But I'm not even sure exactly what he meant.
I don't know what he meant, but I know that I think the Celtics are going to win the championship. I just need to see more of that compete in this series.
Definitely.
Agreed. Agreed.
Definitely, Jimmy.
Celts could use a title. That sounds kind of silly and obvious, but the Celts could use a title.
1 title in 35 years. That's as many as the Bruins, for crying out loud. The Red Sox have 4 times as many championships in the last 35 years as the Celtics.
And Brady has 6 titles in New England.
7.
I think he got a 7th somewhere along the way. I promise we will wrap it up with your calls. We'll rip through them right after Big Jim Murray gets you updated. What's the latest on Marcus Smart tonight? What's the latest on Rob Williams? Big Jim Murray has that information, I think.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Most popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Felger and Mass.
You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, show me the money. This is the second biggest brand. And in the early parts of the NBA, the biggest brand, there was no number 2. You lose to Miami, what are you? What have you done? Brad Stevens moved upstairs. He got so frustrated. So as you beat Milwaukee yesterday, I thought, oh, that's okay. At home, second round in the East, no Chris Middleton. That would be a huge moment for Memphis. Maybe even a gigantic moment for Dallas. It's not a big moment for Boston. Oh, we beat Milwaukee. Probably not if they had Chris Middleton. We played our starters the last game of the season. That's probably why you won. I mean, Grayson Allen shouldn't have been on the floor. He was terrified. Bobby Portis is a liability. Hell, you better win. You better win big. But I think y'all realize in Boston, the Patriots set the standard. Don't be wheat thins. Be gold bars. More titles. Then we'll talk.
So you folks out there must have gotten a column on the Twitter feed or something. But you're kind of an easy mark, true. Whiny bunch. Celtics fans. So the easy mark for Colin Coward. And you can shut it all up by winning titles. And not just putting the banners on your jerseys. You can win modern day titles. That shuts everybody up. So back to your phones on everything. We'll whip through it as promised. Here's Dan in Somerville. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey guys. I just got a bad feeling. Miami in 7. Watch out for this kid, Max Strauss. He was on our roster preseason a couple of years back, and he's a very consistent player. Replaced Duncan Robinson. I hope the Celts win, but I got a bad feeling.
Okay, man.
That's the name I think people will be annoyed with during this series. He's a pest.
Don't lose to Max Strauss.
Struess.
Don't lose to Max Struess.
The Struess goose.
Don't lose to Max Struess. Don't have a top five player in the NBA be a prohibitive favorite, be playing the best in the league by far, and have all this wind at your sails and lose to Max Struess. Don't do that. Not acceptable. I don't care how well Max Struess is playing. Pete in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, insert grab-ass pleasantries here. I just want to make a statement and a series prediction here, and that I feel like if the Celtics can play anywhere close to their ceiling, they're an unstoppable force. And I don't know that Miami is an immovable object. And for this series, I don't have high hopes. I feel like I'm the only one to say this today, but Celts in 4, your mom's a whore.
We might have to drop that last
one. We do.
I don't know.
Yeah, let it go. Just don't discuss it. Look, if they shoot 40% from behind the three-point line and shoot 45 a game, yeah, you're right. You can't stop that.
Oh, yeah, no. They'll sweep if they do that, but they won't shoot 40% 4 games in a row.
I mean, of course. So, like, if they're playing the way they're playing, great defense, 40% from behind the line, and they're chucking a ton from behind the line, yeah, no one's going to stop that.
Yeah, I would tell you your best chance of sweeping this series is to smother Miami 4 games in a row, because I think you could do it.
Andrew and Taunton waiting patiently on the Patriots coaching staff. Thanks for hanging on, Andrew. Go ahead.
Guys, can someone explain to me, like, what the hell is going on down there? It gets more and more ridiculous by the day. It's basically becoming a Family Guy skit at this point. So I thought we took a step back last year when it took in regards to, like, discipline, like not lining up properly on special teams, burning timeouts, false starts, etc. How are we supposed to button any of that up when these guys don't even know what the hell they're supposed to be doing on a regular basis or have a defined role? And they're running around on game day like chickens with their heads cut off. Like, this is so ridiculous. And maybe James Duke can help us out with this. Let's just put a steel cage match on the 50-yard line, fill it with barbecue sauce, and have G.I. Joe and Fat Patricia just wrestle it out, see who's going to call plays on game day.
The worst part of it, I'll just cut you off. The worst thing is you could be halting the growth of your young quarterback. That's
correct.
The worst part of the whole thing.
Yeah, and not just halting it, maybe damaging it irreparably. Who the hell knows?
But I'm glad he brought up the Cam Accord thing, the head coach, the special teams coach. If Bill still had his fastball, or this was 10, 15 years ago, that guy's gone. That guy's gone. Blocked punts, plural. 12 men on the field, plural, on special teams. How many times did special teams literally costing them games? Come back. We'll give it another go. And you know what else we'll do, guys? We'll bring in Joe Judge and Matt Patricia. What are they going to work with? Defense and special teams? Maybe give Cam Accord some help? No, we're going to have him work with the quarterback. Have they done that before? Nah, the hell with it. We'll throw it against the wall and see what happens. What are they doing? Or what's Bill doing?
This is what he's doing.
Absolutely. I agree with Murray. I think he's dead on. Mike, has he fired many assistants in season?
So not
how about period? Yeah, no, take the in-season part out.
So
how about reassignment then?
Very, very few. Dean Pease. Dean Pease was one that got it. They said it was a retirement, but it wasn't. Dean Pease is still coaching in the league. So Dean Pease was one that he had, he let go.
Gooch.
So Dave Guglielmo, very good, the offensive line coach. what's his face, who they brought in here to be an interim coach in case he got suspended, Dom Capers, the secondary coach. You know, he was only here.
That doesn't really count.
Doesn't really count. Right. So he's fired very, very few. I mean, and I'm sure there's others I just didn't pay attention to, but it's rare.
So again, then Bill believes, based on that, that just about every guy he hires as an assistant can coach.
Or I'll figure it out.
Yeah,
or they won't talk back so you can stay.
Right.
I mean, this Cam Accord guy, that was a disaster last year.
But really, that's an alarming sign to me. The guy who will cut players like crazy. On coaches, he won't do the same thing.
Nope. No, sir.
No, because he thinks they're the most important part. Because he thinks he's the most important part. The coaches greater than players. That includes the greatest one of them in the history of the sport.
Maker of men.
Nick in Westport on the Sox. Go ahead, Nick.
Hey, guys, I did call, and I wanted to make a point on the Sox, but I can do it on the baseball hour anytime. So is it right if I
do it if I
ask you guys something about the Celtics instead?
Yeah.
All right. If the Celtics do end up pulling this out and they go to the finals, and regardless of who they beat, do they kind of like take the mantle as the place as the best team in the city? I'm not really a big basketball fan, but I just want to know if they take the mantle as the best team.
Hands down. Hands down, they're the best team in the city.
They are right now.
They're the best team in the city right now.
Yeah.
They're your only hope. What are you talking about? Like that, they're not just the best. They're like the only thing you got.
Right. And I just
look back in 1986.
I just don't want to confuse best with most important.
Oh, yeah. Right. I didn't say that.
No. But I think something tells me that the caller
might make that connection. No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir. But they are easily your best team. Max in the truck. Go ahead, Max.
Hey, what's up, guys? So the way the Celtics have been playing, I got the Celtics on 5. The Miami Heat, really, you know, other than Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, they really don't really scare me. I think the Celtics will take care of them in 5. Thanks.
Okay, Celtics in 3. Very easy.
Here we go.
Yeah, we got Sean in Worcester. Go ahead, Sean.
All aboard, Murray.
What's up, guys? Two things. First thing, I agree with Maz that it's good. I think it's going to go 6. I have a lot of respect for Miami, but I think it's important they need to get either Game 1 or Game 2, because nobody's talked about this. Miami's 19-0 when they lead 2-0. Should that be a concern?
Okay, Maz, I was looking something up. Would you answer the question?
Yeah, so look, again, he said Miami's 19-0 and they're up 2-0 in a series, and that should be a concern. And I would say yes. So I think that this team, winning one of the first two down there is critical. I'd put more money on Game 2 than Game 1, but whatever, play it out. Yes, you don't want to get down 2 games in any series in that league. In the last round against Milwaukee, they alternated until Game 7. Okay, then the Celtics became the first team to win Game 2. I also think in the case of Miami, if they get up 2-0 on you, boy, they can frustrate the crap out of you. Then there'll be pressure on you, missed shots will feel worse, and they will get under your skin. So I think that all compounds itself. You cannot let it get to 2-0.
You know, Celts in 3, Celts in 6, Suns in 4. This thing's gotten dumb in the NBA. Everyone says it. There's a Bucks in 6 thing that goes on in Milwaukee. This is what I was just looking up. The story that I heard, that Bucks in 6 is sort of a joke, because someone told me, and I'm trying to look it up to confirm it, that the Bucks were down 3-0 in a series. And they asked Brendan Jennings what his thoughts were for the rest of the series. And he said, oh, it's Bucks in 6. And someone tried to say,
no, it's got to be 7 at a minimum.
The math doesn't quite work. But as I'm looking it up, it's actually, it was a 2012-13 playoffs. The Bucks trailed LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. And then I'm going to see Miami Heat 2-0 in the first round. Bucks in 6 always. That's for culture, said Jennings. The Bucks went on to lose 4 in a row. So maybe that's it. I don't know. There's some sort of they're mocking it there when they say Bucks in 6. But either way, it's taken on a life of its own. It's kind of become an annoying little NBA thing. Suns in 4, Celts in 6, Celts in 3. Like, I don't know. It's starting to bug me. Just thought I'd scratch that itch. Sorry.
With good reason.
It's content. We should be happy for it.
Dave and Lynn on Belichick. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, Bill Belichick can never claim fame to the fact of
Dave, hold it like a pizza, buddy.
Responsible for
eating his socks.
Yeah, go ahead, someone.
Nah, I don't have socks to put in my mouth.
Bill Belichick cannot lay claim. Belichick can't lay claim to. What was I gonna say?
Can't lay claim to a coaching tree because that belongs to Parcells.
Hold it like a pizza. We'll be able to hear you. Cam in Cumberland. Go ahead, Cam.
Hey, what's going on, Felger? I love Jason Tatum. Absolutely great player. Don't get me wrong. But you just said about 10 minutes ago that he's clearly playing the best in the NBA right now, which is just completely not true. Luka Doncic is by far the best player, at least in the playoffs right now. I mean, the only thing that Jason Tatum does better than Luka Doncic right now is play defense. That is quite legitimately the only thing.
Okay, that's but that's a big part of it. But I don't think I said among the best. If I said the best, I don't know. We're kind of parsing words. But if you're saying that the only thing Jason Tatum does better than Luka Doncic is play defense, that's a huge thing. That's like no small thing.
No, kind of important. Yeah, it cracks me. It's only half the game.
That's a big difference.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Tatum can do almost what Doncic can do offensively. I think Doncic shoots it maybe a little better. I don't know what the percentages would say, if that's better or not. But if you had to ask me, Doncic feels like he's just a hair better shooter. Do the percentages back me up on that? Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me. Doncic, there are people who believe that Doncic's shooting percentages can sometimes be deceptively low.
Because he shoots from half court?
Because he takes hard shots.
Yeah.
But in the same breath, I would tell you that Doncic from the free throw line in his career is only 74%.
That's not good.
So I would tell you that then tells me that the shots from everywhere else, like the idea that somehow the numbers are skewed, is bullcrap. Because if you can only shoot 74% from the line, then you are not a great shooter.
So what do you think, Doncic is better or not? I don't know. I'd rather have Tatum. If I was starting a team today, I'd start with Tatum over Doncic.
Me too.
You've got 10 seconds each. Owen in Medford, go.
Hey, what's up? I just had a question real quick. Who do you think a ring would do more for, Tatum or Doncic?
The same. They're both players that need a ring to validate being the best in the league or a true MVP guy.
Well, correct? One of those guys, if whoever wins it, would be the winner, at least temporarily, of who's the best player 25 and under. That's the series I want for the finals, by the way. Celtics-Dallas, F Golden State. That'd be fun, too, but Celtics-Dallas,
to me,
that narrative?
I'm a big guy that you need the title to validate your greatness. I feel that way. I hold it against guys that don't win. Dan Marino is lesser in my mind because he was never a good enough team player to win it all. So any of these young guys, Tatum, Doncic, Jokic, Booker, Morant, until they win a ring, I don't put them on the echelon. I don't. They got to pass the final exam. So that's the same for Tatum and Doncic. Chris and Dedham, quick.
Hey, yeah, I was just wondering, how big of a role do you think Rob Williams is going to have in this series?
Should be big. Adebayo got you big time the last time you played him in this round, the conference finals 2 years ago. He torched you.
He's a good matchup for Adebayo. He can get out, defend the three. I want to see if he's moving well, because I didn't think he was moving that well before he went down in that Bucks series.
I'll tell you, the bigger the role he plays, the better it is for the Celtics, because that means he's healthy and playing well. And so, and that part of it's obvious, but I think he's a critical guy in matching up with Adebayo.
Final word comes your way.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Fifth.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Nez's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The callers bringing knowledge to the table.
Nez, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Nez on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, final word brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
All right, started today's Phil Grenaz talking about who's going to be new offensive coordinator down there in Foxborough. It's going to be Joe Judge. It's going to be Matt Patricia. Both of these gentlemen have spoke over the last couple of days, and it's just something that many people can't wrap their head around, but especially one Tony Maserati can't do it.
How does that make the Patriots' offense better?
That's the pertinent question.
How does that make the Patriots' offense better? Bill's more interested in his freaking coaching tree. And I'm telling you, even the philosophy there might be flawed. Because most guys who become head coaches don't have a lot of experience on one side of the ball or the other. And a lot of them end up being good coaches. So I'm not sure it's all that important anyway. I'm not telling you it's a zero. But what the F is going on here? What's the objective? What is the effing objective? I don't know why this is agitating me so much today, and it's probably because I actually took the time to listen to it. And I went, this is effing stupid. That's the part that's so maddening about it. He's opened up his own little camp down there for would-be coaches. It's a freaking joke.
Sorry. No, it's... I think that's on everyone's mind. Mac Jones needs one voice, one play caller in his head.
Thank you.
He doesn't need multiple cooks in the kitchen.
And, no, they're doing potluck down there.
And I'll add, all the cooks blow. No, and you know, all we're doing, ripping them all off season. Matt Patricia says, "Guys, it's good to see your guys' faces. Appreciate you. Can you? Oh my God, lower yourself some more, Matt. Why don't you?
All the cooks blow.
No, they do. It's not exactly the taste of Chicago.
It's
down
just
there.
Just fry cooks. Listen, that's all I can make.
Bunch of ham and eggers.
Yeah. Oh, big time. Seriously. You have freaking some short order cooks back there is what you got.
Listen.
Yeah, you want some eggs?
Join us for the 11th annual Hoosier Caddy Classic on Monday, June 13th, Brook Meadow Country Club in Canton. It's sure to sell out fast as it does every year. So get your group together and go to 985thesportshub.com. Next Tuesday, May 24th at 10 a.m. is when the bidding, but whatever. The foursomes open.
Yeah.
It's sign up.
They sell out in like 30 seconds.
It does. It sells out fast.
A chance to golf with some of your favorite 98.5 The Sports Hub celebrities. I'd watch what sort of gummy bears or chocolate that you imbibe, but either way, $600 for a foursome includes golf, lunch, gift bag, and a special edition Travis Matthew hat. Who, pray tell, is Travis Matthew?
Oh, he makes a fashion golf fashion designer.
He makes good stuff. Hardy's always wearing stuff. His gear.
Yeah.
Okay, so you get one of his hats. Some unique auction items as well be up for bid. Proceeds benefit the Pediatric Advanced Care Team at Boston Children's Hospital, Mass's great charity. Golf with the Sports Hub and help out a great cause. Generously supported by 110 Grill and the Long Drink. Again, May 24th is when they go on sale, 10 a.m. Get your foursome. What's coming up on the Baseball Hour?
So we'll look at last night's game. Rob, Xander Bogaerts at the plate in a big moment. The crowd let itself be heard to the Red Sox. And we'll play off of that because a caller last night suggested to me that Chaim Bloom was brought here not just to trade Mookie Betts, but also to trade Bogaerts and Devers, which led me to the question of, is Chaim Bloom the right guy for that move? We're going to examine his big deal so far.
Okay, no commercials. First, we give you breaking news, who's in, who's out of the Celtics lineup, and there was a big surprise included in this bit of news, so don't leave your radio. Then you get Maz. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 to discuss Celtics Heat, which you can catch tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Here's the breaking news.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.